Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
Well, good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
What's happening, buddy?
Well, December is here.
Snow, I know. Yeah, we've been, you know, you and I always lament for like the last 5 years about the winter coming and all that stuff. We've been so lucky.
Well, as far so as the far, weather, right? Yeah, we yeah. have. And what we're going to be dealing with today isn't really terrible, but hey, it is December. It is cold out there, and it will look a little Christmas-like. I like this time leading up to Christmas.
I do, too. Although I feel like we had more leaves. The leaves haven't even dropped on some of the trees
Some
yet.
Of the trees,
yeah,
right, right.
They will now.
You know, there are some trees that don't change color, and then there are others. I was up in, southwest Michigan a few weeks ago when, you know, more or less the peak of the fall color
yeah.
season there. It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
So, and not to mention the fact that around Millennium Park and Grant Park, we had some wonderful color this year, this fall.
It's been beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the good rain that we've had, too,
mm-hmm.
Late in the season.
Cooler nights.
Cooler nights, yeah. Yeah. We, a little holiday tradition that we talked about a little off air is going to see Santa. And I have to be careful how I say this, but Santa. This particular Santa has been at the 900 North Michigan Avenue building for 12 or 13 years. Love this guy. Really nice fella. And, you know, which Santa is because, I mean, you know, he works very hard during the year, Dave, to prepare for this one day.
It's not just Christmas Eve, is it?
It's not. It's not. And so we went there and walked into the room. Now, I have a 15-year-old son who's taller than me now. 11-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. And we walked in, and Santa said, "Oh, Josh, you're bigger than your father." And I thought, wow, Santa's got a lot of people to remember, and you only see him for about 5 minutes a year.
Santa's doing his job.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing that he said that. And I asked my son, what does he want? He goes, "You know, well, I'm looking for a used Xbox One," which I love that he wants a used one. I've been taught all my life, you know, if you can buy something used, pre-driven, save a couple bucks, why not? So he says, a used Xbox One, okay. And he says, what else are you looking for? He goes, well, I'm looking for a new girlfriend. He goes, you know what, buddy? You're going to have to work on that
son,
all by yourself.
Just like the preacher said in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Son,
yeah.
You're on your own.
And then Santa says, he points to me and he's kind of shaking his finger at me, but if you need a tip on finding a good woman, or if you need a tip about dating, he says... And he's pointing to me jokingly, and he goes, talk to your mother. So Santa's busting chops at the old mall. but it was fun. It was totally fun. And I was actually here last night briefly with John Hansen and Esmeralda. We just stopped in. I had a family in, and they love coming down to the studio and seeing what's going on here live. So we did that. But had a great meal. And I have to mention these two places because they're two of my favorites in Chicago. So when you come down, folks, for the holidays, if you're not going to the Marshall Fields, the Macy's, and going and eating by the tree in the Walnut Room, if you're not going to the Berghoff, which is always decorated for the holidays, which I also
decorated
love.
Very nicely, I might add.
Always. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You went this week. I saw your Facebook post.
You saw
post.
My Facebook post, yes. Thank you.
We went a couple weeks ago, but they always, since I was a kid, that was part of our holiday tradition. Because I'm half German, we'd go eat at the Berghoff. It's just beautiful with the lights in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the woodwork that does it with the lights, yeah. You can't miss it.
What do you get when you go there?
What do I get
yes,
when
sir.
I go
Is there?
There
a standard?
Well, these Roger's laughing. What do I get when I go there? Well, the Sauerbraten is always good.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I will, if I have a taste for it, the schnitzel, the Wiener schnitzel. They had a pork dish with some sauce and the spätzle.
There's a Rahmschnitzel. That's what it's called. Which is no relation to the
mayor.
It
has nothing to do with
the mayor. It's been around since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I get it old style. Like, they, you know, Carlin, who's fourth generation, maybe fifth generation, runs the place. She's kind of upgraded and contemporized the menu a little bit, but when I go in there, and we always get the same waitress, and I always say, well, I'd like to get it old style, and she knows exactly what I mean.
She knows what you want.
It's a spätzle and the cream spinach with it, because it's just part of the...
Oh, you got to have the cream spinach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's part of the tradition there. But anyway, we went to the Tortoise Club, which is next to the Broadcast Museum, so I end up being there quite a bit. It's very, again, old school, and I love that. You obviously know that's what I do on the show. We do a lot of old school stuff, but... Yeah, they have a relish tray.
Just wait till you get to be my age, Dave.
Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna be all ready for it at that point. But this relish tray, like homemade pickles, and it's just amazing. And then today went to Club Lago on Orleans.
Oh, I love Club Lago.
Yeah, it is Actually, I saw Kristen Decker there today with her girlfriends having lunch. But so we went before.
They've got a salad there that you can make a meal out of.
Yeah. Totally.
The insalata done.
Yeah, yeah.
And that and some minestrone soup, you are set.
Ooh, and you know what? And I know it's an Italian place, but they have the best homemade Thousand Island dressing there. And we got some, I'm so hungry right now. I'm going to talk about food
just
for the whole segment.
Keep going, Dave.
Yeah. They do like cottage fries. And, you know, I don't get ketchup. I get their tomato sauce because their tomato sauce, I could drink their tomato sauce.
The marinara.
So yeah. Oh, man.
Right? It is that good. It is that good. Anyway, let's talk some history, Dave.
You don't want to talk about their
How did the kids do last week? How did the kids do last week with Dave
Schwann?
Oh, just fine. Kevin and Violetta?
We had a great time. I said, you sure you want to talk to the old man? And they said, yeah, absolutely.
You know what? I know one of the topics last week was the first fraternity.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And yours was, what was it, I Felt a Thigh? Was that your first fraternity?
It's something like that. On a serious note, it was interesting to talk with them, really all of us, because Roger joined in the conversation, about two things, the Our Lady of the Angels fire.
Yeah.
Also, Harold Washington, Mayor Washington's passing, sudden passing. And Roger was working for... City Hall at the time and was there and was around everything when it happened.
Yeah.
So he was able to shed some light on the actual what was going on there in the center of things.
Now, Our Lady of Angels was way before I was born, but I will tell you that my old pastor, my church father, Joseph Agnibeni, he was and Father Joseph McDonald, who just passed away this last year, they were both there.
They were there pulling
children out. Pulling children out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of crazy.
Yep. I've seen old newsreels of your father, the priest, talking about what was going on that day.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Brave guy. 1800, Washington, D.C. established as capital of the U.S. prior to establishing the nation's capital as Washington, D.C., the United States Congress and its predecessors had met always in Philadelphia, Independence Hall and Congress Hall, New York City, which was Federal Hall, and a number of other locations. It was also the Maryland State House in Annapolis. And the Nassau Hall in Princeton, New Jersey. So we didn't even have Washington, D.C. really set up as our focal point for government.
And then I think it was after Washington's death when they decided to name it Washington. It was just called the Federal Center or something like that. And then George Washington took the oath of office in New York City.
Was it part of Maryland at the time, or was it
always... That's a good question, because it borders Maryland and Virginia.
Not sure,
Dave. Something to research.
Joey's on that right now.
Okay,
he's furiously looking what the origination is. 1889, President Harrison visited Chicago in the opening of the Chicago Auditorium. It's one of the best-known designs of Dankmar, Adler, and Louis Sullivan, completed in 1889. The building was built in the northwest corner of South Michigan in Congress, now Congress Parkway. It was added to the National Register of Historic Places in 1970, a National Historic Landmark in 1975, and a Chicago Landmark in 1976. Since 1947, the auditorium building has been the home of Roosevelt University.
It was a hotel initially when it opened.
The auditorium?
The auditorium was there, as always, the auditorium theater.
But
the building itself, part of it at least, was initially a hotel. And the part that juts up just a few stories above the regular roof line there was an observation platform. And that was one of the tallest buildings when it was built in 1889.
Isn't that crazy to think about that? Yeah.
So people had really for that time, and still to this day really, because it would just overlook Grant Park and toward the lake, a marvelous view of what then was the flat prairie,
That's cool.
You'd look west.
That's very cool.
But that was an observation platform.
Very cool. Very cool. 1907, Christmas seals day. First Christmas seal sold, placed on the on mail during the Christmas season to raise funds and awareness for charitable programs. They become particularly associated with lung diseases and tuberculosis and as well as child welfare. And I think I got a commercial here, Dave, from Frank Sinatra. Let's take a listen.
Every 5 minutes, another American breaks down with tuberculosis. It can happen to any of us, age, sex, rich or poor. It doesn't make any difference. But right now, each of us has the opportunity to join in the fight against TB through our purchase of Christmas seals. Our Christmas seal dollars are needed for chest x-rays, health education, rehabilitation, and for medical research. For Gordy and for thousands who are young and old, the fight against TB is face-to-face. But for us, it's a lot easier.
That was Sinatra.
Was Sinatra, yep. Mm-hmm. 1927, Grand Ole Opry makes its first radio broadcast in Nashville, Tennessee. Still on the air today, the world's longest-running radio program.
Isn't that great?
Isn't that awesome?
Wonderful tradition.
Yep. Let's see, 27. Nope, not as long as Orion, but that's okay. That's all right. It's okay. 1941, President Roosevelt delivers the Day of Infamy speech to the U.S. Congress a day after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Let's take a listen.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific.
And, you know, you would think about all of these fireside chats that he had and all these speeches. Everybody listened. It was radio. It was all about radio.
And one of the reasons why was not only because, as Orson Welles said, that Roosevelt had this ringing voice, a very clear voice that got through to the cheapest radio. That was Orson Welles' words. It was also the fact that when you think about it, Dave, even in 1941, radio was still fairly new.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
You know, it was,
people were still getting their own first radios.
Fascinating to hear a human voice coming from a distant place out of a little box.
Well, you know, you think about Milton Berle selling all those televisions when television went on the air. You really got to think of the Jack Bennies, the Bob Hopes, the Bing Crosbys, and FDR, because you got news instantly.
Yeah,
by listening to him live. Yeah.
My mother remembers hearing the. She told me many years ago that.
Wow.
The December 8th was the day of that speech, because when he says yesterday, so it was December 8th, so that was a Monday when he gave that speech to Congress. But that was for people of my parents' generation, you know, the where were you thing. They remember FDR speech, as we would remember, well, for me, John Kennedy's assassination, but going up to the space shuttle, for example, you know, Challenger, 9/11, of course.
Yeah, of course.
For them, it was FDR giving the... A Day of Infamy speech.
Yep, absolutely. 1941. 1952, first acknowledgement of pregnancy on television, I Love Lucy. They actually aired the I Love Lucy Christmas special in color on Friday on CBS, which is just amazing. And they
have you seen a color print of it?
Yeah. And
have
it's,
you?
It's incredible, because this isn't, you know, they used to do colorization in the 80s, the 90s, and it was just awful.
Oh, I know. No, this was the real thing, though, right?
They went through and looked at photographs and matched everything, set pieces, everything to make sure that it matched, and colors of the time. And it's amazing. In fact, they just announced that in, I think, next week, Sunday, first time ever, CBS, and they're airing this in prime time, and I love this. They're airing two back-to-back episodes of The Dick Van Dyke Show in prime time next Sunday in color.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm gonna see if I can check that out.
I'm going to have to try to get Carl Ryan. Oh, see, I'm on next week. I might have to just podcast something and get Carl on the show. Anyway, here's a quick clip from I Love Lucy.
That's right. We got to keep calm.
Ricky, this is it.
That was one of the funniest episodes. And the fact that it was timed so nicely that that she gave birth to little Ricky on television and gave birth
in real life.
In real life as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But could not, you know, this first time pregnant was used. Let's see here. 1963, Frank Sinatra Jr. is kidnapped, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
At age 19, at Harrah's Lake Tahoe, Sinatra was released 2 days after his father paid $240,000, about $1.8 million in today's dollars.
Wow.
Demanded by the kidnappers.
Did they ever catch him?
Yeah, they were, Barry Keenan, Johnny Irwin, Joe Amsler were soon captured, prosecuted, convicted, and sentenced to long-term prison sentences for that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a vague memory of Frank Sinatra Jr. being kidnapped.
But what I have is I have a joke that Don Rickles told to David Letterman about what Frank Sinatra told him years later about his son getting kidnapped. Let's take a listen.
Remember when Frank Jr., remember when he was kidnapped?
I remember that,
unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah.
So thank God he comes home safe and sound. Mm-hmm. It's about a month, 2 months later. And I'm sitting with Frank around the living room. He said, Don, we got the kid back. I said, yeah, Frank, it's great. I said, that's wonderful. I said, you know why they let him go? He said, why? They heard him humming in the trunk.
I've told you before how much I love Don Rickles. What a fun story, I gotta tell you. Absolute classic. We'll have to have Don on again next year. I think that's what we have to do.
He's 90 now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's 90.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Folks, just so you know, I'm off next week again. I know it sounds like, what is this guy doing? You know, I've got a holiday party, and so we, you know, family, friends, clients, all kinds of good stuff, colleagues, and so I just can't do a show after that. And then I think Mark Carman's in for me next week. I'm back the 18th. We're going to have Dr. Seuss's Theodore Geisel, his hand-picked biographer, because it's the 50th anniversary of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and we're going to talk about the legend of Dr. Seuss. I think we're going to have Robin Baumgarten possibly from WGN Morning News. We've got a bunch of stuff coming up. And then my show airs on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, which means there's a lot of pre-tape programming, so I'm not on for those couple weeks, but I'll be in, I think.
You won't be here Christmas Eve?
No, because it's a pre-tape programming overnight, Saturday to Sunday morning. It's all that Christmas at Our House where we do all the hosts.
You let me down again.
Well, the hosts are doing hour-long specials. This is the first. Now, I'm very excited about this because the weekday hosts, as well as Lou and Dean from The Weeknd, do a holiday one-hour show that they repeat a couple times throughout the day on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. They asked me to do one this year.
Oh,
so I'm
great.
Excited about that. So I'm going to have the family in. We're going to talk about the 60th anniversary of Hard Rock Coco and Joe, and Johnny Mathis is going to join us. So it's going to be a fun little package show. I think we air after Midnight Mass and then again sometime during the day on Christmas Day. And then Steve and Johnny are doing their traditional New Year's show.
New Year's show, yeah.
So,
which is so much fun.
Yeah, so I'm going to be filling in on other people's
shows. So Hard Rock Coco and Joe,
60 years old. Yeah, well,
so they turned 60 just like me then.
Well, let me tell you, the video and the song is a little older, but it premiered in Chicago on Garfield Goose 60 years ago, December, I believe, 18th, 1956. I know that right at the top of my head. Look at that.
I was not quite 4 months old.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Let's see. This week also, 1965, Charlie Brown Christmas premiered. 65 also. Gale Sayre of the Chicago Bears scored 6 touchdowns, ties the NFL records in one single game. 1969, the Jackson 5 made their first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. Their first single was released the year before, I'm a Big Boy Now. They joined Motown years later. And, of course, it's Diana Ross that was credited for really bringing them in mainstream.
Saw them in some kind of a talent show, I think.
Yeah, it was a talent show. You're absolutely right. Yep. Let's see here. In 1992 today, NBC announced that Cheers was going off the air the following year. And in 2008, a moment in Illinois history, Governor Rod Blagojevich arrested by federal officials for a number of alleged crimes, including attempting to sell the U.S. Senate seat vacated by President-elect Barack Obama. So that was 2008. And I got one last question on the text line, 847. Good morning. What was the place you ate at that had a relish tray? Did not catch the name. Love Club Lago. Thanks. Have a great Sunday. It is called the Tortoise Club, and that is on State Street, the Tortoise Club on State Street. Dave, we'll talk in a little bit.
Okay, Dave.
All right, we'll be right back.
Yeah.